Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Good morning, aloha from Waikiki Beach. It's not a rainy day, it's just a little bit of a squall running through. It's always going to be nice here. In Hawaii, what do you think we call rain? We have a special word for rain. When it rains, we call it blessings. It's blessings. Because in Hawaii, on little islands, you need rain. And we need water. We're reading in the Catholic Catechism at paragraph 314. We firmly believe that God is master of the world and of its history. He's taking us on a journey. You could say history and from the past, present, and future, right? But the ways of his providence are often unknown to us. Only at the end, when our partial knowledge ceases, when we see God face to face, will we finally fully know the ways by which, even through the dramas of evil and sin, God has guided his creation to that definitive Sabbath rest. So, how often in your life have you really, really wanted something and it didn't happen? And looking back now, you're going, oh, thank goodness that didn't happen. That would have really messed up this beautiful plan that I can see God has been weaving into my life. So we have to trust in that. And what is this Sabbath rest? I think we're all learning about resting. By the way, if you're learning about resting a lot, go to my website and then go to the store and scan through the books. And why not pick up some of the great books we have there? We have some good books for you to read and a couple of mine too. So if you got some extra reading time in this next few weeks, I have a feeling things are going to turn around quickly now in the next few weeks. So enjoy this kind of rest as you can. But the Bible talks about the rest. You know, on the sixth day, on the seventh day, God rested. There remains a Sabbath rest for my people. Paul said we're supposed to work really hard at something. What is it? What are we supposed to work super, super hard at? He said, strive to hurry up and get holy. Look busy. Jesus is coming soon. Work really hard so you can appease God. No, he said, strive to enter into God's rest. And I remember when I learned this lesson when I was like in my early 20s, I just saw the word rest. And in the RE, I saw the word recognize God is God and you're not. And the ST, I saw the word trust. Trust in God. Recognize God is God and you're not. God's in control. And trust in him. That's what rest is. Resting in the New Testament, the word for resting, or I would say for waiting and resting, is to repair a net. So during our time of resting, it's not goofing off. It's preparing for the next time we go out to evangelize, or the next time we're going out to war. We're preparing. It's an active sort of resting. It's not like 1, 2, 3, rest, 1, 2, 3, rest, 1, 2, 3, rest. It isn't, but it is an active resting. You're resting, but you're preparing. In the creation of the world and of man, God gave the first and universal witness to his almighty love and his wisdom. The first proclamation of the plan of his loving goodness, which finds its goal in the new creation. There is a new creation in Christ. And you know it. Because if you're a Christian, you've experienced that feeling of, behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. As Jesus said to his mother, behold, I make all things new. Recapitulation. The redemption of all that had fallen. The bringing it back to its original dignity and then even then some. Through the work of creation, though the work of creation is attributed to the Father in particular, it is equally a truth of faith that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together are the one indivisible principle of creation. God alone created the universe freely, directly, and without any help. I was looking down below here, they've been doing some remodeling on the pool area of the Marriott. A lot of people working, and then there's those helpers that are scurrying around just keeping them supplied with what they need and getting rid of the debris and all that sort of thing. God didn't need any help. Now, no creature has the infinite power necessary to create in the proper sense of the word. That is to produce and give being to that which had in no way possessed being. To call it into existence out of nothing. Now remember, the name Yahweh means I am who I am, or I am that I am, or I am what I am. It's a way of translating Yahweh. I am that I am. I am who I am. God is existence. I am what I am. God is essence. God is a God of love, and he loves to be that way. That is who he is. Nothing has existence except for it was given by God. God created the world. Why? To show forth and communicate his glory. And what is his glory? It's his love. His all-powerful love. That his creature should share in his truth, goodness, and beauty. Think about God as beautiful. Radical. Gnarly. Overwhelmingly beautiful. This is the glory for which God created the world and all that he made. This is the glory for which God created them. God created the universe and keeps it in existence by his word, capital W, meaning Jesus. God created the universe and keeps it in existence by his word, the Son, in Hebrews 1:3, upholding the universe by his word of power and his creator spirit and the giver of life. Not only did God create us, he breathed into us a spiritual, rational soul, and we are made in his image. Divine providence consists of the dispositions by which God guides all his creatures with wisdom and love to their ultimate end. And of course, that's a philosophical term. Ultimate end means purpose. To be what God has created you to be. I was asking my dad today, Greg Wozniak, pray for him. My father's a deacon. He's 91. He needs to be in assisted living. He's up in Minnesota where my mother was from, and they moved back there and all my sisters live up there. And he can't receive any guests. He's not able to really transfer himself out of his bed. He's a 6'4", professional speaker that spoke all over the world to executives, and now he's 91 and not able to do much other than watch EWTN and read. And he was sad today. He was very sad today. He's a deacon in the Catholic Church. In the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, 1973 in June, my mother experienced the baptism of the Spirit, and then she brought me to a prayer meeting, and I did, and then 3 days later, my father did, the rest of the family did, and we were just blown away by the power and beauty of God and fell in love with God and began to serve God by leading the New Heart community in Waco, Texas, the Catholic community there. And then my dad went on, my mother and dad went on deeper in the Lord, and I couldn't find the teaching that I wanted in the Catholic Church because I had been undercatechized. And so I began to go to non-denominational churches and reading non-denominational authors, which are beautiful and great. But when my dad became a deacon, he came across, he came into more deeply, as they were pursuing that, they began to more deeply appreciate the faith and doctrine of the Catholic Church. And he sent me Stephen Ray's book, Crossing the Tiber. When I read that, and I read how the early church worshiped by the readings of the early church fathers, I came roaring back to the church. So pray for my dad, Deacon Greg Wozniak. He's 91. But I asked him today about his final end. I asked him, are you looking forward to heaven? He goes, oh, yes. He knows it's going to be awesome. Christ invites us to filial trust in the providence of our Heavenly Father. And St. Peter the Apostle repeats, cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. Divine providence works also through the actions of creatures. To human beings, God grants the ability to cooperate freely with his plans. Isn't it cool that you have free agency in the service of God? That God will give you these talents and say, now go be fruitful with them and give you free agency and bless your work. Be bold, therefore, when you serve God. Expect, not in some presumptuous way, but just be bold because you're moving in the power of the Lord. And it's not about you, it's about him and those that you serve. The fact that God permits physical and even moral evil is a mystery that God illuminates by his Son, Jesus Christ, who died and rose to vanquish evil. Faith gives us the certainty that God would not permit an evil if he did not cause a good to come from that very evil, by ways that we shall fully know only in eternal life. Think about this. The most evil thing that could ever happen is deicide, killing God. The cross, Jesus being crucified. But, you know, when I'm fighting martial arts, my favorite thing to do is knife fighting. It's just kind of funny because, you know, I'm a second degree black belt in the ninjutsu art. My teacher, Master Stephen Hayes, was the first white ninja. And ninjutsu is a very different sort of, it's a combative style. You really can't do any sort of sport with it. It's pretty deadly. But we learn how to knife fight. It's so fun to knife fight because, you know, ultimately you kill your opponent with their own knife. They have a knife and you don't. The beautiful thing about the knife fight is that you're pretty sure he's going to try to attack you with the knife. So you don't have to worry about his knee, his foot, his hands, his head. He's going to try to hit you with the knife. So you know where the attack's coming from. And that's the good news. And as a black belt, what you learn in time is you don't react. So you do react, but you stage the fight. If I put my hands in this way, when he's coming at me, the attack's probably going to come here, right? Or if I put my hands upwards like this, he'll probably come towards my belly, right? So I set myself so I limit where the attack's going to come, not knowing 100% that that's where it will come. And when the attack comes, I use my opponent's energy, do a wrist throw and slash his throat at the same time with his own knife. I was doing a men's conference in Fort Lauderdale, and I had my friend Gerard come, and I said, I'm going to teach a little bit about knife fighting because I'm using it to illustrate a point. So attack me with this wooden knife, you know, fake knife. And when he attacked me, I practiced it. I practiced it with him in the back of the church or the hallway at, you know, 1/4 speed. He didn't know what was really going to happen. So when he attacked me, I did a wrist throw, cut his throat with a wooden knife, and he ended up flying onto the ground, you know, just to really, I made sure he was safe. I made sure he was in a rolling position. When he did that, his gun flew out of his pocket. I had no idea he was carrying a weapon. That's Florida for you. But why do I talk about that? When Jesus went to the cross, he was staging the fight. He knew the enemy's weapon was death. So he said, come, bring it to me. Come at me, brah. Let's do it. Let's do this thing. When Satan attacked him with death, did not Jesus kill death? Did not Jesus destroy destruction? Did not Jesus capture captivity? When Satan attacked him with the knife of death, Jesus slew death and thus stripped Satan of any of his weapons. If we will just join him. That great Carmen song, when the fight of the cosmic eternity takes place between Jesus and Satan, and they're blocking, Satan's attacking, misquoting scripture, Jesus blocking every blow by quoting scripture properly, and finally Jesus drops his hands and Satan delivers the knockout punch and Jesus is fallen to the ground. And then the referee, who is God the Father, remember, he wrote the rules, stands over his son with Satan and the demons dancing in glee and everyone mourning. And he started the count. But instead of saying 1, 2, 3, he started the countdown by saying 10, 9, 8, 7, like in the Space Coast before they're launching a rocket. 6, 5, the demons are going, wait a minute, he's counting wrong, he's counting backwards. 4, 3, and they scream out, oh no. And all the angels and the saints say, oh yes. And Jesus rises off that mat, rises from death and defeats Jesus. And he is the champion of the world. Stop fearing. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Love you guys. Trust in Jesus. Rest in the Lord. Aloha. May the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you.
Hey, man. I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.